Celia for sharing that with us. I do encourage you guys, make sure you talk to him after service today. I am glad you are here today, whether that's returning from being evacuated or maybe amidst your evacuation, or maybe it's the first time you've been to our church and it's kind of driven you to church. Hey, I am glad you're here. I'm sorry that might be the scenario that you got here, got you here, but I'm glad you're here. One of the other reasons why I'm glad you guys are here is because we are a church family, are we not? Nice to be surrounded by brothers and sisters in moments like this. And as you can see, we've got lots of stuff going on in our church service today, but I decided it was going to be more important for us to spend some real quality time praying with one another. If we're going to spend a moment here, I've got about five things I want us to pray with, just in little, small little huddles. If you're here by yourself today, scoot yourself somewhere. There is nobody here alone today. So, with that in mind, we're going to pray for several different things. And if you know some names, I'm going to ask you to call them out. The first thing we're going to pray for are all the firefighters that are around the county. Do we know any firefighters? If you know a name, yell it out. There you go. Lots of firefighters. We have lots more names listed off in the first service as well. If you will, please, just in small little groups, go ahead and you don't have to pray out loud. If you want to sit silently, that's great. If you want to murmur, pray, feel free. Let's pray together, if you will. I'll open us up, and then you go ahead and pray for firefighters. Lord, I just thank you so much for an opportunity to get together as a family of God. Thank you for all of our church members and friends who are firefighters, who are risking their lives. Lord, we lift up the firefighters to you right now. Lord, now we want to lift up police and medical care workers. Anybody in the church body know any names for us? Just go ahead and shout them out if you know a name that's a police officer or someone that's a nurse or a doctor. The Buckinghams, the Barneses. Lord, we lift up the police and medical care workers to you now. Father God, we also want to take a moment to lift up the 70 churches around the lake as they bring the word to people. May people come to know you thanks to the ministries that are happening around the lake. And Father, for those in need, we understand whether it's due to fire and displacement or the fact that life just happens, that people have motorcycle accidents or they have surgeries that need to be attended to or they have to rush children to hospitals because of fevers. I pray that we could pray for those right now and lift their needs up. lastly, Lord, we pray for ourselves. Pray for our holiness in this moment, our grace and our mercy as our patience might be tried. Father, we humbly lift up our own needs to you right now. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to be the only name under heaven for us to be saved by, that his sacrifice on the cross made the eternal payment for us. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In your name, amen. Family, thank you. So easy in this moment in time to kind of be like, see that Facebook post and go, oh yeah, that's something important to pray about, and then we never get to it. Or maybe we give it a cursory. Felt like we could have done that all hour, couldn't we? We could have done that all hour. Well, I'm glad that you're here today, no matter what the reason is, whatever drove you here. I'm glad for another reason. I'm glad I get to preach for the next couple weeks. I actually am going to be able to preach through my favorite chapter of the Bible. We all have favorites, sort of like our children. Children, don't let your parents lie to you. We've all got favorites. Romans chapter 12 happens to be my favorite. Weiser's giving me the evil eye over there. Romans chapter 12 happens to be my favorite chapter in the Bible. You heard me speak on it several months back now. But I get to preach through the whole chapter. I could do 6 months on chapter 12, but I'm going to do it in 3 weeks. So if you'll just hold on for the ride, I hope that you'll join with me and enjoy this sermon series. Today we're only going to focus on the first two verses. First two verses tend to be memory verses through lots of programs. Lots of people already know them. You could probably even recite them even now. But why don't you go ahead and turn there anyway. Romans 12, for you non-Bible scholars, if you hit Acts, keep going. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Man, there's great rich stuff. Even in those two verses, you could spend a lifetime just mastering those two verses. You'd be far better off. Let me unpack this a little bit for you. Verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. See, for 11 chapters, God, through the Apostle Paul, has been laying out some serious theology, right? Some real heavy stuff. Folks, it's not that heavy. Read it. You can get, there's nothing you can't work through, I promise you. Promise you. If you've never read the book of Romans, let me challenge you to do that this week. If you've never read it in one sitting, let me challenge you. Read it in one sitting. See how it reads differently. And then in chapter 11, Paul was writing very specifically about how the Gentiles, that's us, people not Israelites, were grafted into a new covenant. Really at the cost and expense of his chosen people. And he was like, hey, beware. I can graft them right back in and graft you out if you're not careful, right? It's just that fast. That's what he was laying out in chapter 11. That's the Jason Ritz translation for you. Okay? That's what the therefore is there for. Okay? He's talking about that mercy of God. The fact that we have the ability now to be in heaven. says, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies. When that idea of presenting yourself, you're not being dragged through the woods kicking and screaming, right? You are offering, hey, this is what I've got to offer, God. Please feel free to use me. Especially in times like this, right? Sometimes we do that. We don't know how to help. We don't know how to look out for people. We know we want to. Oh, God, here's what I've got. And Jesus sometimes goes, yeah, that's great, but you've also got that, that, and that. How about I use those things right now? Have you ever fallen into that? Thought you were going to help the Lord do one thing, and then he takes those plans and he goes, and he gives you something completely different and maybe even better. They're better because it's what he wanted. Doesn't mean that it worked out great, but it's what he wanted. Present your bodies willingly as a living sacrifice. We'll get to holy in a second. As a living sacrifice, you are, as a Christian, an ongoing thing, dying to self daily, correct? We are turning ourselves into something that's more Christ-like. It's that process of sanctification. We look to the Lord to see him working in our lives. It's not a one-and-done thing. Just because you walked an aisle, said a prayer, that's it. No. We are a living sacrifice, a growing, breathing entity. That's what we're meant to be. And a holy sacrifice. We can live to all sorts of things, can't we? But we're meant to be a living, holy sacrifice. You ever wake up one day, you've been doing stuff, and then all of a sudden you find yourself one morning recognizing you have really let your hope go to something else? Your time, your schedule, your efforts, and Jesus really isn't part of the mix. Maybe you started out great, and then you walk down the road a little bit, and then it's different now. I'm going to put forth that look to Jesus as your hope. Faith, hope, and love, right? We'll get there. Look to your hope. What is your real hope? We are living with a purpose for righteousness. We are stewards to a dark world that doesn't understand and doesn't know. We are stewards of knowing what is good and what is right and what is wrong. The world in this day and age will tell you there's all sorts of gray in the middle. When we look at this, there's not a whole lot of gray. A lot less gray than we really want to accept. We are stewards of knowing what is acceptable and what isn't. And God, frankly, expects us out of us, to be good stewards of what is right and what is wrong and helping people to understand. This is the holy life that is alive and fruitful, and this is what worship looks like. It's a day-to-day, moment-to-moment kind of thing. It's not a once and done. It's not just a once a week. It's a day-to-day living style of worship. Which then brings us to verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me ask you, what's the difference between conforming and transforming? In one instance, you're being pressed into a shape, and in the other, you're changing from within. Now, I didn't see it come up this time, but last time, I think Clayton and Celia had a picture of them like enjoying some watermelon, some kids enjoying some watermelon, right? I love watermelon. Let me ask you, what's wrong with watermelon? Thank you, my son, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing is wrong with watermelon. Even the ones with seeds, you get to spit them at your little sister. You know. Well, in Japan, you can buy cubes of watermelon. They're actually shaped like a cube. Now, if you've got a kid in KCA, you probably heard about this. I'm so sorry. But I thought I'd bring it here to you because I was doing that. I did that lesson in preparation for this one. I thought it would be interesting for you to get it as well. In Japan, they grow these. There's about 300 or 400 a year. Okay, and what they do is they take the fruit just as it's coming to be a fruit, and what they do is they stick it in a plastic box, like, you know, plexiglass with holes in it, so that way the air has somewhere to go when it keeps growing, and eventually it grows into the cube shape. What's wrong with a watermelon is that weird shape you got. Like when you go to transport water, this is what they were thinking. The initial idea was, we're transporting all these watermelons around Japan, and there's all sorts of air in the truck, right? Because they're shaped like, you know, footballs, more or less. There's all sorts of air. We're spending gasoline to ship air. That's silly. And they were like, well, you know what? We've got people like Jason Ritz in the world who will buy the largest watermelon that he can possibly find and then stick it on the top shelf of the fridge, which then rolls all over the eggs, breaks things. It's a mess. They're like, if we make them in a cube, we'll transport less air, and we can stick them in the fridge just the right shape to slide right into the shelf. Cubed watermelon. Here's the problem. Here's the trick. They're not ripe. They sell them not ripe. They're no good for eating. They have to harvest them before they get ripe. Otherwise, they bust inside the cage. See, they're desirable for their decoration. They are merely ornamental. They are unfruitful and merely ornamental. Interestingly enough, you buy one of these, you can keep it on your table for like 6-8 months. That's how not ripe they are. The idea of conforming to the world is quite dangerous for us, spiritually speaking. As a Christian, the temptation there is to conform into the shape, take the shape of a sinful world. And just like that square watermelon, you may seem appealing, maybe even desirable, but the consequence isn't worth the apparent benefit. Downside is you'll become something that's useless and unfruitful to anybody, even you, even God. You will merely be decorative, ornamental, window dressing. But we are to be transformed by the Word, by our study of the Word. We will consume that Word in our brains and let it change our hearts for the better, to be fruitful. Caterpillars. Did you know caterpillars got to eat 100? That's all they do. They just eat. They eat until they are 100 times their original size. That's all they do is eat until they are 100 times their original size. That's their main goal in life. They will even eat the shell of the egg that they were birthed from. It's the first thing they eat. It's the first thing they consume. And they just keep consuming and consuming and consuming. I know that's a disgusting thought, but we are to consume the Word and continue to consume it and consume it and consume it until we want more of it and want more of it. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness more and more so that we can be more and more reliant on God and more like Him each and every day. We need to be able to seek out ways to serve the Most High, the Almighty. In other words, the more we've delved into the Word, the more we should allow the Holy Spirit to inhabit our words and actions, especially in moments like this, like we're dealing with in the county. Calamity truly brings out how much you trust the Lord. Sort of like Peter. Family camp, we just learned about Peter. Chapter 14 of Matthew, there's Peter in the boat with the other professional fishermen, scared out of their minds because of the storm they're in. That's got to be some serious storm for professional fishermen to be spooked. And then here they think they see a ghost. It's just Jesus, taken out for an afternoon stroll. And what's his response to him? Hey, take courage. Don't be afraid. It's me. Don't be afraid. And what does Peter do? Chapter 14, Matthew, it says, Peter says, tell me to come out there with you. And so he sets up a challenge for God in amidst their calamity. We can have a tendency to do this, can't we? Show me your real Lord in the midst of my trouble. Hey, Peter was fine as his hope was in Christ. And then he looked to see if his calamity had changed at all, and it hadn't. He had put his hope in the change of his surroundings, and that's when he began to sink. You of little faith, says Jesus, why did you doubt? Let's learn from Peter's mistake. Most of us know that from the study of God's word that Christ is our hope. It's a tangible thing that we need to kind of wrestle with. Oftentimes we kind of put that off to the side, don't we? Hope is this ethereal thing for the future once I'm dead. No, we have hope right now. Right now. Just like we think we've got a grasp on faith and love. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. We think we've got a grasp on those two things that are the bookends. And for whatever reason, we take hope and we just kind of like limit it to, oh, someday I'll understand that. You can try to understand that more now. Have hope in Christ now. Have it be part of your solid basis for you to stand on. And why do we do this? Why do we let the word transform our mind? So that we may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Here it is again. Being good stewards of what the will of God is. Many of you might be here today trying to figure out, how can I help? I need help. What can I do? I'm kind of in this no man's land. Stores aren't open. People have needs. How can I help? I can't give you specifics. I wish I could. Because those things change if you pay attention at all. They change daily. But let me inspire you with the word. We're just going to just jump down in verse 12 here. Verse 6. I'm just going to jump down just indiscriminately. I'm just jumping down to verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the portion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. And on and on. You want to figure out what to do? Start there. Start there. That's a great place for you to start. So where do you move from here? In about 15 minutes, you're going to walk out that door. First off, be willing to present your body to the Lord to be used for service. Don't sideline yourself. Don't sideline yourself. Be willing to serve. You don't practice righteousness to never be put in the game, right? But Jason, you don't understand. I'm worried. I'm concerned. I've got this happening. I've got that happening. I've got kids. I've got issues. If the Lord is for you, who could be against you? The Lord promises never to leave you nor forsake you. The Lord goes before us. He's our rear guard. Tell me, what do the people got to get through before they get to you? What has the situation got to get through to get to you? It's got to come through Jesus. You're good. May I inspire you with some hope? It's okay. Figure out what you got to do in the next 15 minutes. And trust me, that is not an original thought. I steal that one from my wife. I'm going to put a caterpillar in your brain right now. What does the Lord need me to do in the next 15 minutes? Think about that for a second. Because if you can figure that out, even in some small scale, you're going to be doing what the Lord wants you to do. What does the Lord need me to do in the next 15 minutes? Dedicate those next 15 minutes and do it. Dedicate it unto the Lord. And then, what do I got to do 15 minutes after that? What's the next right thing for me to do? You're a steward of what is right, what is acceptable, what is good, what is pleasing. You are to be doing God's will. What's the next right thing for me in the next 15 minutes? And do it again and again and again and again until you can string those things together. If you miss the 15 minutes, it's okay. Get right back at it. Let me inspire you. Jesus is our hope. He is the real reason. We can have hope that our people will be fine, our family will be safe, friends will be okay, structures won't burn down, stuff will be all right. We can have hope that that actually comes about. But our overarching hope is what? Jesus Christ, an eternity with Him, worshiping Him forever. We could do that. You can do that. It's okay. And if those other things don't work out, it's going to be okay. Yeah, we're going to be sad. Yeah, we're going to be hurt. But it's going to be okay because we have a hope in Christ and an eternity with Him. And that starts with a relationship with Him. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're at. I hope you know Jesus, and if you don't, now's the time. Pretty straightforward. See that green card in front of you? The other side says salvation. If you haven't ever accepted Jesus, admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus is the only way into heaven, and confess that He is Lord. Make that a personal conversation you have with Him right now. For the rest of us, we're about to take communion. But let me just speak into your life. Have hope in Christ and live as a holy and living sacrifice. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You for this opportunity to hear about what You're doing in Mongolia, to hear about what You're doing in Lake County, to understand what You're doing in the hearts of people, even here in this room right now. Father, we thank You for Your love and grace in our lives. As we prepare our hearts for communion, I pray that You would forgive us, each and every single last one of us, for where we've fallen short this week. Help us to be mindful of where You're at work and how we can join You. Help us to offer our bodies willingly as living and holy sacrifices to You and to Your glory. In Your name, amen.
All right. I'd like to invite those who are going to help serve communion if they come up now. And as they're coming, I want to tell you true story. I remember hearing it first. Pastor Dwight, an evangelist Dwight Moody, years ago told the story of pioneers were coming across the Great Plains, and they were in a wagon train. And up ahead. If you've ever lived in the Great Plains, you know the thunderstorms. They're ominous, you know, they're awesome looking and ominous. Well, off on the horizon, lightning struck the wild grass, and as far as the eye can see on the horizon, there was a wall of fire coming towards the wagon train. You begin to panic, and what do we do? Run for your lives. And fortunately, the wagon master, he knew exactly what to do. He told them to stay put, and then they, as the wind was blowing, they lit fires. They lit backfires. And the wind would blow it behind them as the fires were coming towards them. And then as the backfires blew out, then he moved the wagon train and they got real tight together. And then as the firestorm came, it just blew around them because there was a scar of burnt grass that they were safe in. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. The wrath of God, the judgment of God, and the sin of mankind. And Jesus Christ took that upon himself. And as the wave comes and the judgments come, we're safe in Christ. Not because we're brilliant or because we're all that good, but we're not. We're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the great thing is that it's a free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he wants us to remember that in the midst of fires and storms and challenges of life. And I guarantee you the greatest challenges of life will not be this fire. And some of you are going through things much worse than this fire right now. And here's what I have to tell you. You can depend on Jesus. And that's why I was so excited about being here today and sharing communion and being reminded that we don't need to be molded by the world, but we get to be molded by him. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now as we go to this table of communion and realize that you have made the way for us. You have forgiven our sins. You have defeated death. And Lord, we thank you that for those who receive you, you have given us the right to be called your children. So Lord, help us to remember that today and to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus also took a cup. A cup would represent his shed blood for our sins. I know this about crisis. Crisis brings out the best and worst in people and communities, and also, I'll just speak for myself, the worst, best or worst in myself. And so throughout this time, I've been more fearful or anxious than I should be. And so I'm just glad that the Lord just doesn't push me away. He draws me close. Why? Because I've been purchased. You've been purchased by the very precious blood of Christ. And so we walk today, we should walk humbly, because just think about how much he loves you. Consider his love for you today. And then consider also those people who he also died for, who are either ignorant or willfully pushing him away, that they would see in our lives that we are people who desire to walk with our Lord. So stand together. I've been a believer now for, I figure, 44 years. First time I've ever been evacuated from anything. And it's refreshing to remind myself that the Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this trial will pass. That we may be reassured by our remembering of his sacrifice for our sins. It's my prayer that we would stand firm as a church and as God's people. You're going to have impact with people that I won't bump into, but that we would be people filled with hope. So let us do this in remembrance of him. Amen. As we're leaving today, we have a benevolence offering. I could guarantee you the needs are going to be skyrocket. So let me encourage you to give generously as unto the Lord. Also, let me encourage you to not leave before you introduce yourself to the Chamberlains. They'll be leaving in about a week or so to go back to Mongolia. And so those who have already been part of their support team, keep it up. And those who would like to be interested in how you may be a part of a blessing to them, please talk to them. Amen. Let's stand together, and we're going to sing one of the stanzas of Amazing Grace, "Through Many Dangers, Toils, and Snares." That seems like an appropriate one. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Heavenly Father, take us from this place now, secure in our walk with you. And Lord, use our lives, use the light in our lives that you give to bless this community. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Be safe and God bless you.